This is Bulls Beat on Bulls Unlimited. Bulls Beat is your stop for exclusive interviews, highlights, and the very latest on all sports at the University of South Florida. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
And happy Friday to you. We've got a full, as always, weekend preview when it comes to baseball and softball. It'll be the Bulls against FAU in both sports, and we will be on the microphone for all six of those games. We're hoping that the first game each day takes the normal length of time. There might be a couple innings missed here and there, but don't worry, on this show, we won't let you miss anything as far as the opponents go. We'll tell you about a really good Owls team that the softball squad is going up against, first place in the conference, and on the baseball side, a team that's off to a very similar start as the Bulls. That's why they're tied in the standings. That's why their overall records are almost identical. Should be some more fun. We had Billy Mole and Joey Vellini on our show Bullseye yesterday. We gave a couple comments that I thought were interesting from both. Actually, give you one that I thought was the funniest line that's been delivered on the show all year long. And we know that Alex Golish and Amir Abdul-Rahim can issue some funny lines, and some of our student athletes have as well. But I think he might have won that battle. We'll also tell you what's going on with track and field at two different events this week. And in fact, already some of the field athletes participated in the Penn Relays, a massive event that we'll give you some notes on. And of course, we will discuss golf. We'll throw in some other various notes as well. I'm thinking of football and the draft starting last night. You have other individuals signing with teams. Former Bull tight end Mitchell Wilcox, now a former Bengal, is now a New England Patriot, if you missed that. And a lot of great golf news to bring to you. As you heard on Monday's show, we told you we would not do a show on Wednesday, so we are going back a little bit in the week to catch up on some things. But the men's golf team winning the conference championship, they will find out where they're headed for the NCAA tournament next week. As a matter of fact, Jake Peacock, who was the individual conference champion, has since then already won a step in qualifying for the U.S. Open by finishing in first place at a smaller local qualifier, so he is one more qualifying tournament away from making the U.S. Open field, which is just wild. And again, more coverage on the men's team next week. We were at the women's team's selection show special. It was on a Wednesday at the Leroy Selman Athletic Center. Had a chance to talk to Erica Brennan. You're going to hear that conversation here in a minute. But first, we'll tell you where the Bulls are headed to Bermuda Run, the golf course in North Carolina, hosted by Wake Forest, which is the number one seed at this event, and the ACC champion. The Bulls have the Big 12 champs and the SEC tournament champs in their region, along with Ole Miss as the three seeds. So those are your top four seeds. UCF, who was put with the Bulls last year, if you may or may not recall, neither team qualified for the next round. The Bulls are seeded sixth out of 12 teams, followed by another SEC school, Tennessee, along with Oregon State and North Texas, which got one of the last spots in the field. We'll tell you more about the rest of the teams in the conference here shortly. And then the automatic qualifiers from the Colonial, that's Delaware, the Big South, Charleston Southern, and the Patriot League, Navy. Now, in order to advance to the finals in Carlsbad, California, and once you get there, it is another whole big, long process, four rounds of stroke play, where going into the final round, there's a cut line, and then the final eight after that fourth round qualify for the match play championship. So you have to go four rounds of stroke play and then win three match play battles to be the national champion. If your team doesn't advance, you can still win if you're ahead of the leaderboard at the end of the four individual rounds of stroke play, obviously. And in addition to teams, there are six regionals. So there will be, from each regional of 12, five teams that advance to this final stage I'm talking about in Carlsbad, California. You will also have some individuals advancing. And as a matter of fact, in each of the separate regionals, there are six players whose teams didn't make the NCAA tournament in as individuals, including some from the conference. But the one team we care about, of course, is the South Florida Bulls. And you'll hear me mention it here with Erica Brennan, even between the conference tournament and what happened on Wednesday, the team learning where it's headed. Melanie Green got two more big-time honors. She was named the Golfer of the Year in the American Athletic Conference. No surprise there. Sometimes, frankly, if there's a toss-up, they'll give it to the individual who won the conference tournament, which makes sense. But MG, even though she did not win that, had way too many accolades to be denied. She is the highest ranked golfer in the conference at 21. And of course, the Bulls are back in the NCAA tournament, led by the person we affectionately call MG, Melanie Green. Also, she was selected as one of the 12 collegians to represent Team USA at the Arnold Palmer Cup. That's going to be in Ireland in July. Just a major, major distinction. But it's not a one-person team, obviously. In fact, it's perfect to bring it along what's happened the last couple of years. 2 years ago, Melanie did qualify individually, and we'll get into some of the conference individuals after you hear from the head coach of the Bulls. That was 2 years ago. As a matter of fact, now her teammate, Alize Vidal, did the same thing, winning the A-Sun with Kennesaw State. Then last year, the Bulls, for the first time in more than a decade, qualified for the NCAA tournament as a team. They were right in the mid-60s on the rankings, and that's right where the bubble is. Well, the team is ranked in the mid-30s this year, so there was no question that they'd be getting in. MG leading the way, averaging below 70 as far as her normal score. Then it is Vidal at 73.1. Right ahead of her, the 72.8 is the transfer from VaTech, Alyssa Montgomery. And then right behind Vidal at 73.6 is Emma Foucher and Leo Medeiros, rounds out a fantastic squad. One that, and you'll hear me allude to a disappointment if you missed it, finished third in the American Athletic Conference tournament, but had a big second round and a big six-shot lead heading into the final round. So you talk about progressing from just having an individual make the tournament to the whole team getting in on the bubble to now a solid, highly ranked squad. That also goes to that question of a team that, you know, if you would have taken them 2 years ago and said you're going to finish third in the conference and make the NCAA tournament, they would have taken it. But they wanted to win that championship. And, well, they have plenty of time to, quote unquote, make up for it with what they can do from here on out.
So congratulations, first of all. I know that you had a good feeling about today and a 360 feeling from last year. So that speaks to what you guys accomplished this season.
Yeah, it was tremendous progress. That's kind of what we talked about today, is how nice is it to not have to come in here and sweat it out. Last year being the last team in, it definitely made for a magical moment, but also a stressful one. So to just be able to relax and the team enjoy one another's company and incredible support with administration and support staff that was in the room today. So to have that kind of energy just kind of fuels us and we're ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. The support was there last week, obviously, in Brooksville. And what I loved about, you know, the result is not what anybody loved, but your response. It looked like you guys weren't some team that, hey, we're going to the NCAA tournament. It was one of disappointment, but I think maybe fuel as well for what's coming up.
Yeah, there was for sure disappointment in that. I think that, you know, anytime you're sleeping on a lead going into the final round of a conference championship, you want to be able to close it out. So the fact that we didn't get that done was definitely disappointment. But in the team meeting, like the team was super honest, super vulnerable with one another and incredibly transparent. And that's what great teams do. And so it wasn't about being down in the dumps for too long, but let's acknowledge and confront the brutal facts and then let's move forward. So we could either use it as a exclamation point or use it as a comma, and we're choosing to use it as a comma.
I like the comma. Before we get to the end of the sentence, let's talk about what MG has had happen in the last couple of days. My goodness, going to Ireland when all this is said and done, and oh yeah, POY, MGGPOY.
Yeah, it's been a heck of a few days for her. So conference player of the year, so well earned. I mean, again, she just works hard day in and day out, and it's no surprise to see her get rewarded for that. But to get selected to represent her country for a kid that is such a patriot and has so much love for the United States of America, I think that for her is an event that is going to mean so much to her as she gets to compete for Team USA. So it's pretty special.
All right, so you guys get a little time now. I'm guessing you imagined Auburn or North Carolina. So what's kind of the lay of the land for right now?
Yeah, we're excited about Bermuda Run. We've kind of looked at all six of the courses, and that's one that we think can suit our games well. So we'll start preparing tomorrow out at practice and start gearing up for that, and we'll leave next Friday. So the team's ready. They're in a good place. And again, there's definitely some hunger and some fire in our belly coming out of that conference championship.
Like I said, you probably had a feeling where you might be going. Does the field even enter into play? I mean, there's obviously going to be some strong teams no matter where you go. Another team from the state of Florida, I noticed, that was nudged a seat ahead of you guys. So does the competition factor in, or is it just focus on you guys?
Yeah, when you get to this point in the season, I think every team there has obviously earned a spot. And so if we waste too much time looking at fields and trying to play any kind of like head-to-head game, that's just not how this game works. So doesn't matter who is in our region, we know that the number is five. And the cool thing about this tournament is, would winning it be incredible? Of course, but there's no pressure to win this, right? There's no points whether you finish first or fifth. So we need to go and we need to finish in the top half of the field. And fortunately for us, that's something that this team knows how to do. They've done it, every event with the exception of one this year. So if we play our games, I like what happens.
And then last thing, I mean, it is a long time between actual golf competition. What do you do in between? Do you actually play much golf? What's the situation there?
Yeah, we try to be on the course and competing as much as possible. So we're having a little inter-squad Bulls Cup right now. We've got a green team, got a black team, and we're mixing up the format. So we're going to throw everything that we can at them and get them to respond and continue to hone those skills of resiliency and mental toughness. But we want them competing every single day at this point.
All right. Sounds like a good plan. Thanks, Erica.
Of course. Thanks, Derek.
She mentioned the turnout there, the normal people you would think, and Jim Fee. Hopefully you heard the new Bull Speed Ahead with Michael Kelly. It's on our podcast page if you missed it. Former All-American golfer with the Bulls and longtime coach, and now he's the sports administrator for both golf and soccer, along with being an associate athletic director. And also, not officially on his title, but anytime I'm locked out of a room or need to get into a building, he's generally around and will help me out and is an overall good guy. But I did not know that Jim Fee was also the head of the men's golf NCAA tournament committee. So maybe he can slide some info to Steve Bradley on where they're going, but they really don't know where they're going. They will find out next Wednesday. And we will talk to some members of the team next week as they're getting ready to head out to North Carolina for their second straight NCAA regional appearance. You know who else appreciates their team? I don't know if you saw this. If you weren't there at the Yuengling Center, you didn't. Maybe you got the hint on social media. But Amir Abdur-Rahim, and this is as we recap the Stampede of Champions. By the way, we've got some student athletes at USF who know how to dress up. It was really cool to be there. It was an event where basically it was the award ceremony, not just about the USF student athletes, but truly for them. It was a night on the town, except it was at the Yuengling Center, and it was really cool and extremely cool to see the hosts of this thing. Jaden Reed, he wants to be a member of the theater once his basketball career is over. Well, here's a freshman being a co-host and MC of a major event, and of course, he's a natural at it. And also Sophia Chepnick, who we have already learned, one of the leaders of the women's lacrosse team, she is a natural and was fantastic and funny. And Riley Hunt, one of those student athletes you might not know about, well, she's on track and field, and she just presented like a longtime natural actress or something like that who is comfortable on a microphone and genuinely hilarious. They were funny. But either way, here's some of the awards, and the coaching staff of the year went to men's basketball, but Amir Abdur-Rahim brought up both Erica Brennan and Dalton Stevens, who are the coaching staff of women's golf, and gave up the trophy, basically, and gave it to them, which I thought was a special moment. And believe me, didn't say it on microphone, but Coach Brennan was kind of blown away by that, she told me. Riley Hunt won for Individual Community Award for getting out in the community, and women's lacrosse won the team award. The newcomers of the year, Jaden Reed, I just mentioned on the male side. Female was Romy Levy of women's basketball. Along with winning coaching staff of the year, men's basketball got most improved and best team performance for that comeback win against Memphis. Sam Hines was the male scholar athlete, while Sydney Granick was the female scholar athlete. Mike Lofton of football, most spirited. He was actually one of the event's hosts last year. I got to sit alongside some members of the football team, and they were all enjoying it. I didn't know RJ Perry was such a running commentary, hilarious guy, but I found that out. Very touching moment was the Alexis Buckman Unsung Hero Award, and it was given to Bailey Leistel of softball. Of course, Alexis Buckman, the former member and teammate with Bailey on the softball team, who passed away from cancer earlier this year. And that was a video that was put up on the social media pages if you want to seek that out for sure. actual male and female athlete of the year. We've been talking about her, Melanie Green from golf, and this guy named Byron Brown. From football team of the year, men's basketball, individual performance was that case in Pryor against Rice. Almost perfect performance in the second half. That was not an easy selection, by the way. I was part of the committee that didn't vote on any of the winners. That was left up to the student athletes and members of all the staff. But to just single out 10 individual performances and get it to a top 10 was not easy. Naeem Simmons, you know, the state's all-time receiving yards record, that kind of thing. Romy Levy was in there. What Selton Miguel did against FAU, there was a lot of options. And then finally, Leroy Selman Award for someone that does not just a lot of work on the field, but in the community, well-deserved, to Sarita Thurton of women's soccer. So there's your Stampede for Champions recap. And if you want to scroll through some of the various social media pages, you know the easiest way to scroll through some of the various teams' social media pages? Just go to mine, X, at Derek Sharp, DarekSharp, and look for my list and subscribe to it. Doesn't cost anything, the USF teams list. So it is all in one spot for me and can be for you. Hey, speaking of all in one spot, baseball and softball, and it's been a while, by the way, are both at home this weekend. Not only that, they're both playing FAU. We'll tell you about their conference standings, about their opponents. In the case of softball, the first place opponent from FAU. Also give you a track and field rundown and some other sports that are going on as well. And some former Bulls that are landing with former Bulls, I'll explain when Bulls Beat continues.